Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. This will be a review of the King of the Ring tournament, Raw and SmackDown. It will be a Ray review. It will also be featuring Lit Nick coming to us live from the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Hello.
Via satellite. Welcome, Nick. What did you guys think of SmackDown overall?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay. Now, we started out with Roman. They showed a little video montage, which they are apt to do sometimes, quickly of Roman. And then at the end of the show, which is what we just finished watching, Roman says, watch the footage. And it's Rowan pushing over the stuff onto Roman. Lo and behold, there's no way Daniel Bryan could have known that. He's been trusting this man for years. He slaps the taste out of Rowan's mouth multiple times. Stiff, slaps upside the head. Rowan walks off. Daniel sprints to the ring. I can't believe this. I would have never done you like this. I'm so sorry. Roman splits him in half. What did we think?
Oh, I can't believe you've done this.
Nick, what'd you think?
I thought it was good.
I'm just a little bit confuzzled, mainly because of one thing. I mean, we still have the dude with the red beard, and that shot was a pretty far distance, so you could have claimed it was still that bearded guy. So DB just going off the rails, kind of like, I guess it's more of a storytelling thing that is probably showcasing his own actual guilt about it and him kind of seeing that the jig is up, but yeah.
I'm also very confused.
All right, well, that's all right. I think that it's meant to be confused.
Because it's like, I'm confused for all the right reasons.
That's correct. That's what they want.
That, like, who is it? Who told Rowan to do this? Why did Brian turn on Rowan so quickly? Except for having his dudes back. Like, he didn't even try to help him. He just said, and just slap the dude. Those were stiff.
All right, now let's move on. Kofi goes to the ring is the next segment. Okay, that ended the show with Roman.
Yeah,
with Roman splitting him in half. Cut to credits. Now, the second segment of the episode was Kofi going to the ring. Randy reads this heartfelt letter from Kofi's son. Please don't hurt my dad. Randy realizes they're all in the same hotel. Randy's like, oh, I'm going to go talk to your son. Kofi runs backstage. They brawl in Gorilla. Kofi gets DDT'd. What did we think?
The Kofi and Randy thing is the best thing going on SmackDown Live or Raw right now. It's probably the best thing going in WWE right now that isn't the 24/7 or something.
Ignore the Fiend.
Ouch.
Well, here's the thing. The Fiend, he's not really happening a lot. He hasn't been appearing a lot. You know, he's been attacking Legends. He's doing his own thing, you know?
What did you think about the Kofi segment, Nick?
Personally, I really liked it, like Ray was saying. There's something very strange about the way that really good heel promos on SmackDown Live appear to be whenever they're just goading people's kids, like whether it's Joe or Randy. But either way, like, say what you will about that weird tactic they're doing, Randy has put out a really great promo that really stuck out in my mind as one of his better ones.
Always after SummerSlam or during SummerSlam or something, somewhere around SummerSlam or when school starts,
the children get just involved.
So didn't Samoa Joe trespass on AJ's property like a year ago?
He also claimed to be like, I'll be your daddy, young child of AJ.
Let's hope that Randy doesn't go that route.
Yeah.
But anyway, hopefully. It's good. It's good stuff right now. Now let's move on to Ollie versus Buddy Murphy. What did we think about that match, Nick?
I really, really enjoyed the match. It's just a showcase for 205 Live and really what they can do.
Let's get this out of the way.
Go ahead, Ray.
I am going to say this. I loved the match. Buddy and Ollie put the match on of the night. They've always have great chemistry. 205 Live, their match at Survivor Series stole the show. Their match on 205 Live also stole the show. Please watch 205 Live. It's about to be dead in the water. Allegedly.
Keep going.
And I just need to get that out of the way, because you are going to feel like I did not like the match.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very mixed on the ending. Because I do not believe that Ollie can be affected by wins nor losses. Because he can always play the underdog. Or, he's the underdog from I don't know, heaven? Didn't he stop alcoholism that one time?
Okay, so you think that Buddy was hurt more by the loss than Ali would have been?
Yes.
Okay, and Nick, you believe the opposite, is that right?
I do believe the opposite, personally. Predominantly because I think Ali's underdog gimmick is extremely... Like, you can take so much damage by how many losses you take at this point. Because he's already lost so much. To have him have all those video promos hyping him back up. I'm coming back. I'm stopping all this stuff. I'm going to bring the positivity. And immediately just get taken down first section of the King of the Ring. Like, are you kidding me? That's not an underdog. Oh, maybe he'll get back up. It's more like, okay, yeah, no, you're not an underdog. You're just under. But my whole thing is, I do not envy, like, Buddy or Ollie's position of losing in this match, because neither of them could have taken a loss and have walked away that well. But I feel like Buddy walked away better, because while he did lose, he was not buried. He is still extremely over. And while one could argue, just because you're over doesn't mean that you're going to, like, be forever on top, you're probably going to lose momentum, I don't think that that's going to be the case in Buddy's situation, predominantly because he can be used in many more areas right now. He's already involved with the Roman feud, which is the biggest feud going on SmackDown next to Kofi. I think that Ali needs the win because he needs something to do. He needs something to chase. As we often say, the babies are really good at chasing things. But if Buddy is currently a heel-ish at the moment, and maybe he's going to be turning face depending on the ending of this match, I think that, I wanted Buddy to win, but Ollie winning doesn't really strike me as a bad thing for either of them.
You gotta realize how fast these things swoop by you. I guess what I'm most scared of is for Buddy Murphy to end up like, let me just throw an example out there, Rusev. Because Rusev was this big and over, and then he got, directly into the ground. And we haven't seen
him
since.
Yeah, but that wasn't exactly on him. That was because they decided to turn him heel and people stopped caring. People are as big a factor as anything in WWE. Because the audience will dictate who goes over and who gets left in the dust.
Okay, there was a really cool finish where Mustafa does this crazy hanging DDT, then a 450 splash, reminding everybody how good he is. And then we move on to Miz TV, where The Miz challenges Shinsuke Nakamura. Sammy comes out to be the mouthpiece. Sammy's doing great. Miz gets mad, hops out of the ring. He's walking towards Sammy. Shinsuke's waiting in the wings, jumps him from behind, goes all strong style on him. And then Sammy's jumping up and down laughing with the mic while Shinsuke's beating up The Miz. And what did you think, Ray?
I thought it was incredible when Sami Zayn just started jumping up and down like a dog. And, it's his shtick to be annoying to people. He he's supposed to be ear-piercingly loud and stuff like that. Nick, what did you think about it?
I thought it was all right. It towards the end, it got a little too trying. I guess that's part of his thing, to be a little annoying. But at that point, him rolling around at the front, being like, that was funny. And seeing him and, Shinsuke work together was cool. But when he was in the ring and still talking, I was kind of hoping that Shinsuke would miss and hit him. Which, granted, you could argue that's the point, but also, it's just like, it goes from being funny, annoying, to actually, this is, now you're just talking to talk.
I get it. Now we're going to move on to Bayley versus Lacey Evans. It was a tour de force performance by Bayley. I loved it. I think we all loved it. What did you think about it, Ray?
Definitely Lacey Evans' best match, which granted, not very high bar, but it's still a bar to be broken, and they don't just set the bar.
They are the bar. Nick, what'd you think?
That was a very, very good match for Lacey, and just once again, like you just said, proves that Bayley is one of their best wrestlers, not just in the women's division, but just generally.
Totally agree, and Bayley looks like she's moved on from her old finish to Bayley to back, which makes Ray happy, to a Macho Man Randy Savage flying elbow, which is wonderful. She's added a finisher, which is like a reverse figure four leg lock. We liked it a lot. We're going to move on because there's nothing bad to say about that, to Randy Orton versus Big E. What did we think about that?
I can only think of one criticism, and granted, it was a great segment. But my one criticism is when he got him in the abdominal stretch and spanked him, then rubbed his sweat stuff on him. And I just thought that it's like you're so overcome with rage, you're going to spank him. Like, what?
Right.
And you could say, oh, he's trying to embarrass him. But wouldn't you be, if somebody broke your friend's leg, would you be in a state of rage that was, let's say, you can think, oh, I'm going to embarrass him. No, I'm going to beat him up.
I think you agree with that, right, Nick?
I agree with that mostly. Like, I can see an argument, though, that, like, I don't just want to beat you. I want to humiliate you and make you look stupid. But that being said, still, with him, my issue, I think, with that whole segment was the fact that he was grinning when he did it. If he was glaring while he did it, kind of taking, like, malicious joy out of it, then it'd be like, okay, totally, that fits better.
Right.
But he didn't, so it just did kind of stick out a little bit. But overall, other than that, it was still a fantastic little match.
And you had Big E get distracted after being on the offensive. Orton is able to get the RKO because of the Revival coming out and distracted him. Then they roll into the ring and they do what did you call it? A combination RKO? You had a word for it?
Super RKO, which is super. What Corey Graves himself announced it to be.
Super RKO. That was fantastic. I want to see Big E someday get a run. I think he's fantastic. I'd love to see him in a Mark Henry role where he's a House of Pain guy, but I like you, Nick.
Hall of Pain,
correct. Like you, Nick, I also think he could get there with this personality. It's either way is fine. We're going to go on to Elias. He had a little thing where he's doing a little talk.
Kevin Owens comes out, puts the stunner on him.
He's out cold. Lo and behold, here comes our truth.
Doing the old cartoony tiptoe. Yeah.
But he was too slow, and Maverick got a hold of his foot. Pulled him out of the ring.
Slid him out. And then pinned Elias himself, and he will finally be able to make his wife happy.
That's definitely what that means. Yeah.
No, Ray.
He's a child.
Ray is actually almost 12, 2 hours from now. All right, now, let's move on to Benjamin versus Gable. What did we think? Nick, I think you loved that match, right?
Personally, it's my favorite match of the night. Granted, like, it was between that and Ali and Buddy. But still, fantastic match. He showed just how good those two in the ring together. Granted, that could be because the two are more familiar with each other because they were in a tag together. But either way, it told a fun little neat story. It wasn't like ambitious or big. It was basically like the little man versus the big man. But really helped that Gable was able to throw himself all over the ring. You had Shelton just throw him down onto the ground and onto the what were those little gray areas called?
Barricades.
Correct. The only thing I can add to it is that I think Shelton Benjamin should by far be in the Intercontinental Championship picture.
Nick?
That ending flip, I just wanted to add real quick, was so good. That's the first time I've ever seen someone do that move where I believe that the person did it. And I think that's praise to both of them being able to pull that off to make it look so good.
It was absolutely fantastic. I just want to say quickly that it amazes me. We all agree SmackDown was a great show tonight. And it amazes me that somewhere around 500,000 more people watch Raw than watch SmackDown. Because SmackDown is a painless, pleasant joy to watch. There's great wrestling on it. The stories are just convoluted enough. 2 hours, no filler. Now, we're going to move on to Raw quickly. The Go Home Heat kid may have a few things to say. What did we think about the Drew versus Ricochet match?
Why did they massacre my boy? Why did they massacre?
You did McIntyre? Not like the ending.
No. I in fact, I hated it. But you liked the match. With all of the passion in my heart. I liked the match. I thought it was good.
Nick, what did you think?
I thought the match was really good. And honestly, I don't hate the ending as much as most people do. But that's mainly because I feel like Ricochet or Drew could have benefited from a win here, similar to the Buddy and Ali situation, where it's either it's picking between your favorites at that point. But I'm glad that Ricochet is moving forward. I think Drew is going to be fine if they give him a new feud.
Okay.
May I add that I don't believe that you can look weak losing to McIntyre. That's just impossible.
Right. Now we got Corbin.
True.
We got Corbin versus The Miz next. What did we think? Corbin goes over.
Corbin goes over. But one thing I did have a problem with, not because it was necessarily Corbin, but because there was just a random kick out in the middle of the match of a skull crushing finale for no reason, other than to pop the crowd.
Okay, you didn't like that.
I did not like the skull crushing finale.
Shows kick out. How powerful Corbin is.
The K in King stands for what?
King, King of the Ring stands for Baron.
Corbin.
My favorite son.
So we're going to move on to Tag Team Turmoil. What did we think about that?
I don't
want to try to go through all of that. Just to sum it up, the thing that most people are upset about, especially the Go Home Heat kid, was the Viking Raiders versus the OC.
OC ended in a double disqualification, which was very disappointing.
Right.
Now, but here's the thing I will say about that before we move on, is the fact that the way that the War Raiders are built up and the way that the OC are built up, they were in a no-win situation.
Hopefully this leads to a program.
Well, I believe that a way they could have booked it better is that if they put the OC later on and they had the War Raiders take out a couple tag teams and then had the OC take them out while they were defenseless, basically, because they've already wrestled, like, every other tag team.
Or maybe one of them gets disqualified, bludgeoning somebody or something silly. Roll okay.
Up. Small package.
Go ahead. Now, we wind up with Dolph.
And Rude. Glorious Arrogance is what I like to call them.
Or Rudolph. Which is beautiful a good name. Tag team name for them. Rudolph would be good. But what do we think about them? We like them?
Yeah, I like both of them. They're good.
Nick, you had thoughts?
Honestly, I love this team mainly because I'm a big fan of Robert Roode / Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. I feel like they can work with a rock and still have chemistry. But that being said, I'm with everybody else in saying I don't know how to feel about the fact that they are immediately getting pushed straight into, like, a title shot scene.
Somebody's got to lose.
Say the Viking Raiders or the OC, who are my two favorites to the entire journey. But I still think that the match at your Clash of Champions is still going to be good either way.
You know what's a smart idea?
Yes.
The tag team name, it would be Money Beer.
Money Beer. Okay, now let's move on to...
Instead of beer money.
Sasha versus Natty. Sasha did a promo earlier in the evening. I wasn't blown away by it. Were either of you...
It was good.
What did you think?
Her tone was kind of like...
It was patronizing.
You know, when you see someone acting in a movie and they're just kind of, I'm reading the lines.
Correct,
and
okay.
I know what I'm saying.
But, then we get to the match, and that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's really good. She's really good in the ring. And she goes over, and that was great. Now we're going to move on to Cesaro versus Cedric. What did we think about this?
I don't think Cesaro is capable of having a bad match.
He's amazing.
I don't think Cedric is capable of having a bad match.
Cedric goes over after playing up his injury the whole match. It was well done. Cesaro's amazing. Anything else, guys?
No, not really.
Loved it.
Loved it. Now,
not really much
Braun yet. Winds up with a huge matchup with AJ for the marbles. And go ahead, Ray.
Shenanigans.
You upset?
Not really. I mean, I don't want Braun to win the U.S. belt. I want him to win the big belt.
Okay.
I think Braun can't fit the U.S. belt because no one could take it off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Universal Championship, you have Brock and maybe get Show back for, like, a retirement match, and that's about it. You don't win either way, but you get more out of one. You get what I'm saying.
Okay, Nick, what did you think?
The spirit of Eddie Guerrero lives on. That's finish. All I'm saying.
In case you don't know, the finish was the OC came out to help AJ in this U.S. match, and Braun gets mad, grabs a chair, and without ever actually hitting AJ, AJ takes a dive. Referee hears the chair shot, doesn't see who got shot, and lo and behold, disqualifies Braun, even though the people who were banned from ringside were standing right beside him. So
the one who grabbed the chair actually was AJ. AJ first grabbed it to take out Braun, and then, but anyway, yeah, that's basically it.
As one would do, it was convoluted. It was hard to figure out. It does set up. I don't know if it sets up AJ getting into. Did we put all three belts on the line that night? Does AJ wind up getting into a world championship match with? Ooh. Seth and them on the heels of this? Do we put all the belts on the line?
But if this ends with AJ and the OC holding all the gold on Monday Night Raw, I would be extremely happy.
That would be, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
That they could have all the belts. Or it's also possible that Seth and Braun could have all the belts.
Don't talk about that.
But either way, that was Raw. And as you could tell, we were not upset with Raw, but we weren't blown away with it. And we were happy with SmackDown. Yes. And I think this King of the Ring tournament has been a good thing. Nick, what do you think?
I've been enjoying every single match I've seen thus far, and I don't really have much complaints about any of the results, unlike some people in this room. But, again, it's just been a showcase of really good wrestling, which is nice to see on the TV.
Ray?
I believe it would be hypocritical of me to say that I don't like it because I've been begging for a tournament for years. And I do like it. I mean, it's a fresh thing of wrestling. And I think with everyone eliminated, we need King CN Almas.
And that is Ray's review. Along with Lit Nick, this is KP signing off for Go Home Heat. Nick?
Go home!
Copyright 2019.